Welcome to the War Room. My name is Savannah Hernandez, and I am sitting in with you guys on this Thursday, May 28th for Owen Schroyer, who will be back tomorrow for our Veterans Call-In Show. So I know we are all looking forward to having him back, but y'all have me for today. We're going to be going through a lot of breaking news. I'm sure we all know what's going on in Minneapolis, and we will be focusing on that for quite a bit of this show. I have Bryson Gray coming up with me at the bottom of this hour to discuss all of the rioting that is currently going on over there right now. And then we're going to be joined by Tom Papert in the second hour with some of the latest headlines on National File. And again, going more into this situation and all of the different angles going on over there. And then at 5 p.m., we're going to be joined by Ashley St. Clair. Now, she and I back a couple months ago were talking about how one of the biggest hurdles Trump was going to have to get through was the censorship of conservatives via big tech. So we're going to be talking about that because, of course, today Trump was set to sign that executive order as well, targeting or pertaining to social media. So we'll be giving you updates on all of that. But I want to start out, of course, like I said, with what's going on in Minneapolis right now and actually across the nation. So this is my stack of news today for the coronavirus. Okay, folks, it's a very small and flimsy stack. Now, of course, we've been going so hard on coronavirus news for the past couple of months. It's been all that anyone has ever consumed, but my sack is very small. And let's go ahead and go to this quick clip right now and see why that is and what is going on in Minneapolis that is taking away from the huge story that is coronavirus and has been for the past couple of months. Let's go to that clip now.
Protests in Minneapolis on Wednesday erupted into violence and looting. It was a second day of rage over the police killing of a black man named George Floyd.
This whole city block here has been a hot spot all day.
Many gathered at the site of Floyd's fatal encounter with police, as well as the Minneapolis Police Department's 3rd Precinct. There were scenes of chaos as dozens began looting stores, with dozens of people running out of a Target with merchandise.
Well, I can tell you, so I was just a few short steps away covering the protests, which have been going on all day at the 3rd Precinct. And then I heard a little bit about something about looting, so I started walking towards the Target store, which had been closed for the day, I'm assuming because of the protests. And there were people just tearing out televisions. They were stacking them on top of their cars. If you would look inside the store, it literally looked like people were simply stopping.
That came just hours after Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey urged prosecutors to file criminal charges against the white policeman who pinned Floyd to the street. The policeman and 3 other officers involved in Floyd's arrest have since been fired, but the city has not identified who had his knee on Floyd's throat.
Fire set. We've had a bad amount of looting, just widespread.
Reminding us what a great job he's done with the rest of the folks in government that wanted to make the VA better from one of the worst agencies. to really turning it around in 3 years.
Family tells us on the last day of his life, Hager took a trip to the VA walk-in clinic to get help. But instead of seeing a counselor, Hager was told to simply give his guns to a family member and come back for a follow-up after more than a month.
He went home that night and shot himself in the head.
We unveiled indictments against 15 South Florida residents. Those 15 residents were charged with fraud, kickback schemes, and corruption schemes, all carried out at the Veterans Affairs Medical Centers in Miami and here in West Palm Beach.
Dori Stafford says this letter, obtained by CBS News, shows how badly the VA claim system is broken. It's dated July 29, 2014, thanking Dori's husband, Wayne, an Army veteran, for the disability claim he filed in July of 2004. That decade-long delay is just one problem. The other is that Wayne Stafford died in an accident 7 years ago without hearing a word from the VA.
And now this, does this upset you?
It upsets me.
The epicenter of the scandal. Phoenix, Arizona, where as many as 40 veterans died at this VA hospital while waiting up to 21 months to see a doctor.
This is the VA's new medical center, just east of Denver, a sprawling complex. Its ballooning costs have made it the most expensive ever. Design, construction, and management issues blew up the budget from $328 million in the initial prospectus in 2004 to almost $2 billion as of today. Its opening delayed repeatedly. Government documents reveal blatant mismanagement, showing the VA gave the contractor incomplete designs and never came close to one that could be built for the budgeted amount.
I've talked to a lot of vets. They say it's gone from nightmare to working pretty good. They can also see private doctors if the VA doesn't step up. I mean, this is one of our great accomplishments, getting Trump elected and people inside the VA working hard against the bureaucracy, because the globalists hate our vets. So Memorial Day coming up, I just wanted to talk about something positive Trump's done. Here he is.
We passed the largest reform of the Department of Veterans Affairs in the, I think, in the history of the department, including VA accountability. And I said VA choice. We've removed 8,500 VA workers who weren't doing their job, who were taking advantage of our country and hurting our vets. The percentage of veterans reporting they trust services. Think of that. They trust services, so they report, and they say they trust services, has reached the highest in the history of the VA, Secretary. That's a big statement. So the percentage of veterans reporting that they trust the VA and the VA services is now the highest in the history of the service. Satisfaction with the VA outpatient care has reached 89%, and we're not going to rest until we have it at 100%.
Remember a year ago in Miami and places, they wouldn't take down Obama's picture.
Happy to be able to get these hung up. We always say in the Army, right? Nothing takes 5 minutes.
But shortly after those pictures were taken down, after they were put up, they were deemed inappropriate. You believe that?
Well, when I walked in the door, there was where the previous picture of Barack Obama was. There was just a blank wall.
Yeah.
And I was really kind of surprised. And I walked up to the information desk and I asked them, I said, well, what's going on? I said, where's the picture of the commander-in-chief? You know, and the guy kind of leans over to me like it was a secret or something. He says, well, he says, they're telling us that it was a typo. And I was like, what?
So years into Trump's presidency, the bureaucrats running it were so evil, they wouldn't even put up the president's picture. Well, they've had their asses fired. And this is a model for the rest of the government.
All right, folks, so that was one of our great reports that you can find on band.video. Now, we had to go to that report because everything that's going on with Minneapolis right now is so crazy, and there's so many different clips flying around and things going on that we just had to take a second to go ahead and get it all ready for you and all set out. Now, I wanted to start off with this clip because these riots, these protests, let's not even call them protests because they are currently riots. They've been going on for the past 2 days in Minneapolis and now in Los Angeles as well. And I want to show the aftermath, what Minneapolis looked like this morning. So let's go ahead and just play clip 17 as B-roll while I talk about this. But this is what Minneapolis looks like this morning after 2 nights of rioting in the streets after two nights of people burning down low-income housing, trashing and vandalizing local small businesses, burning down Targets, auto zones. It's complete madness over there. And of course, we know that this is all in response to the death of George Floyd. Now, we've been playing that footage for you here on some of our other shows, and I remember watching this for the first time, and it was very hard to watch. I don't think I've seen one person on Twitter who said that he deserved to die or he did something to deserve that death at all. I think everyone's on the same page when they say that this police officer was definitely in the wrong here, and this was a senseless murder. And a lot of people are pro-protest, but the rioting that's been going on for the past 2 days is so counterproductive to George Floyd, to his memory, to what people need to do to stand up for justice for him. And I've been talking to various people as well, and a lot of them have said, you know, even looking at this clip, this isn't a racial issue, because police brutality is something that expands into all races, whether you're white, black, Hispanic, Asian. Police brutality is not something that's just focused on one specific race. But what I've seen over the past couple of days on Twitter, in our own media, is, of course, them using this as another way to further divide us and to further incite this race war in our country. Now, at the beginning of the show, I had held up my stack of coronavirus news. I don't know where it went. I think it's like, it's right there. But it's very small. And I just thought it was kind of funny because, you know, over the past couple of months, we've been so consumed with this coronavirus news. Every single time you turn on the TV, the ads are about coronavirus. Every single time you turn on Netflix, the top rated documentary that's being recommended to you is about the coronavirus. And we're now seeing this shift to where that news is dying down. And where I have been seeing in the past couple of weeks is this big incitement of race war. Think about it. Ahmaud Arbery happened. We had Sean Reed. That story didn't get as big, but I have seen his name on some of the protest signs in Minneapolis, in L.A. We had Breonna Taylor in the news as well, who was killed by police. We've seen the Central Park video where a white woman and a black man were fighting with each other, and it became this huge racial issue. We saw Jimmy Fallon getting canceled for blackface, and now we're seeing George Floyd and these riots going on. And it's been very telling to see how we are now shifting away from the coronavirus news, and it's now all being geared towards dividing our country further, especially now that it's 2020 and we are in an election year. Someone the other day made a good point that, you know, every single election year, it seems that racial tensions seem to rise and rise. And just from what I've seen over the past 3 weeks, that seems to be the case. Race war is a big thing that's going on here. And in this next segment, we'll go through all of the videos that we compiled for you on what's been going on in the past 2 days, and also how people have been continuing to push this and tug on everyone's heartstrings to further divide our country. So I was scrolling through Twitter last night, and I was up until 3 a.m. just monitoring this whole entire situation. And like I previously said to you, too, we had people going into Targets, and we can play all of the B-roll compilations as well, y'all, of people going into the Minneapolis Target and breaking ATM machines, running out with lamps and with just all of this stuff from Target. And I actually, okay, you know what, y'all, I think that Trump is now talking about. Can we go to that, guys? Yes or no? No audio yet on the Trump clip. Okay, so let's just keep that down and then put that back up for me whenever we have audio, and I'll go ahead and pitch to it. So anyways, getting back to Minneapolis again, we have all of these people who are leaving Target en masse with giant HD TVs, with everything that the store had to offer. They were breaking the cash registers. It was complete chaos. They went and they burned down an auto zone. It was madness. And a lot of people were saying, you know, these were the Black Lives Matter groups. These were Antifa that were doing this. Apparently, a suspected looter was also shot yesterday because a pawn shop owner was trying to protect his business. And he is now being charged with alleged murder. So that's what's going on. And that's the scene for all of that. And I'm really excited that we have Bryson Gray coming up because, like I said, this is just such a big topic with so many different angles to it as well. And it will be great to get him on and to get his perspective on this as a Black American. And, you know, in response to George Floyd's death as well, what he thought about it. But going back to the racial divide that we constantly see, especially during election year, these are a couple of the tweets that I saw over the past 2 days. And it started off with this one. It says, "No one ever seems to have tear gas when heavily armed white men show up at government buildings." And the tweet has four pictures, one of a police officer throwing tear gas, another of people in the tear gas. They're pouring milk on each other's faces and they just look distressed. And it's these protesters who were out here for George Floyd. Now, we see what they're trying to do here. They're already trying to compare these protests to the protests in Richmond, Virginia earlier this year. And they're trying to say, well, if these were white men that were protesting, the police wouldn't respond in the same way. The police wouldn't be spraying pepper balls. The police wouldn't be using tear gas. The police wouldn't be using rubber bullets. Look at the difference in the way the police handle these situations. Even further, this tweet by Bishop Talbert Swan was going viral all day yesterday. And it said, "Here is Derek Chauvin, the racist cop who kept his knee on George Floyd's neck, cut off his air passage and murdered him, wearing a Make Whites Great Again hat. A clear sign that this piece of excrement should have been taken off the streets a long time ago." And on the left side, we have the cop who was kneeling on George Floyd's neck, ended up killing him. And then on the right, we have a man wearing a Make Whites Great Again hat, similar to the Make America Great Again hat. Now, do you see what people are trying to do here, folks? They're trying to take this situation and use whatever they can to try to link it back to President Trump, link it back to white people, and make them look like the bad people. And going back to the comparison of the riots going on in Minneapolis right now to the protests in Richmond, those protests, the reason why the police did not need to use tear gas, the reason why the police did not need to use rubber bullets to disperse the crowds is because it was peaceful. And also, it wasn't just made up of white men. There were Mexican people there. There were black people there. There were so many different people there to stand up for their Second Amendment rights. So the fact that here, again, it's just white people this, white people that, that in itself is false. And then the fact that they're trying to make this false equivalency to the riots currently going on in Minneapolis, to what happened in Richmond, Virginia, is just another example of how we are further pushing a race war and division in our country. And it was actually very interesting because, yes, Twitter did start using their fact check. And on this tweet, because it went viral for half the day, they had to put this link on the bottom. And it said manipulated media, and you could click to it. And it was actually not the cop. This is not the cop in this picture wearing this Make America Great Again hat or Make Whites Great Again hat. Thank you to the crew for pointing that out for me. I totally forgot to make that point, that this tweet was going viral all day long and it wasn't even correct. Those are not even the same people. So that's an example of how social media is handling this. And then we're going back to real life and let's just read off some of these headlines of what's been going on the streets. Apparently, rioters are now demanding that we shoot the white folks. The fires were so bad that they showed up on air quality maps. Again, low-income housing is being burned down, and we should have a clip of that. We can roll that as B-roll, but this is low-income housing, folks. This is a low-income neighborhood, and a lot of people were really upset because these housing developments were made for, the low income community. And then these black small business owners as well are being targeted right now for these riots because of the death of George Floyd. And that's leading a lot of people to ask the question, how do these riots help anyone? And let's go ahead and actually go to this video right now, too, because, again, white people are being so demonized, white men with guns especially. But let's see what some of the white men with guns are trying to do for small business owners in Minneapolis right now.
So tell me who you are.
Free American. Yeah.
And so, what are you doing today?
We were out here yesterday, too, down on the original protest site. So basically, you've seen the records that cops keep. And cops are a lot less likely to try and tread on people's rights when there's other armed Americans with them. So we figured it's about damn time that some, or at least I figure that it's about damn time some heavily armed rednecks stood with fellow citizens.
And why are you protecting this store?
Well, I mean, this wasn't exactly a specimen action.
We've been kind of ended up here.
We've been moving around and just trying to see what's what without getting necessarily completely slapped by massive groups of people. Right. And while we were walking, somebody mentioned that there were some guys at the back of the house who wanted to know if they were over here to buy something. And they said that they're closed and they're defending their businesses. Oh, yeah, Target's on fire, by the way.
Yeah.
But and anyway, so we heard that. We're like, well, we better kit up and go see if these guys need help. And it turns out these guys are out here with machetes and shattered windows trying to keep looters out of the business because cops can't get in here. And so, you know, I figure before they were cops, they were just Americans. So here we are.
Already out during the L.A. riots.
Or during the L.A. riots. Collateral damage,
everyone,
I guess.
Everyone protecting their own stuff. That's where you only got from rooftop Korean.
So bottom line, justice for Floyd, and I hope they stop looting at some point. If there were more of us, we could go stop them from looting, but it's just us more.
We definitely don't agree with the looting.
Yeah, no, looting.
But we do
looting
agree with the cause of the protest.
Yeah, definite protest.
All right, and that's the point that I wanted to get to in that clip, was just they don't agree with the looting.
To give you a signed copy of what I'm going to be signing in a couple of minutes, and you'll see exactly what we're doing. They've had unchecked power to censor, restrict, edit, shape, hide, alter virtually any form of communication between private citizens or large public audiences. There's no precedent in American history for so small a number of corporations to control so large a sphere of human interaction, and that includes individual people controlling vast amounts of territory, and we can't allow that to happen, especially when they go about doing what they're doing, because they're doing things incorrectly. They have points of view, and if we go by that, it's actually amazing that there was a success in 2016, but we can't let this continue to happen. It's very, very unfair. And you look at the statistics and you look at what is going on, and I think everybody would very much agree with that, including Democrats, by the way. I saw quite a few Democrats are saying this is about time something is done. So let's see if they keep that decision after they hear that we agree with them. The choices that Twitter makes when it chooses to suppress, edit, blacklist, shadow, ban, are editorial decisions, pure and simple. They're editorial decisions. In those moments, Twitter ceases to be a neutral public platform and they become an editor with a viewpoint. And I think we can say that about others also, whether you're looking at Google, whether you're looking at Facebook, and perhaps others. One egregious example is when they try to silence views that they disagree with by selectively applying a fact check. What they choose to fact check and what they choose to ignore or even promote is nothing more than a political activism group or political activism. And it's inappropriate. You look at what's happened, you look at where they're going, where they're coming from. I think you all see it yourselves. The censorship and bias is a threat to freedom itself. Imagine if your phone company silenced or edited your conversation. Social media companies have vastly more power and more reach than any phone company in the United States. More reach, actually, than your newspapers, by far. More reach than a lot of your traditional forms of communication. Therefore, today I'm signing an executive order to protect and uphold the free speech and rights of the American people. Currently, social media giants like Twitter receive an unprecedented liability shield based on the theory that they're a neutral platform, which they are not, not an editor with a viewpoint. My executive order calls for new regulations under Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act to make it that social media companies that engage in censoring or any political conduct will not be able to keep their liability shield. That's a big deal. They have a shield. They can do what they want. They have a shield. They're not going to have that shield.
All right, y'all. So that was President Trump signing the executive order pertaining to big tech and social media companies. Now, this is something that Alex Jones has been fighting for ever since the day that he got banned off of Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all these social media platforms. So, you know, this is a great thing to see. This is great to see that Trump is finally taking action against big tech and is finally stopping the targeting of conservatives and of anyone, of free speech, really. It's not even about conservatives. It's about the targeting of free speech on these platforms. So I'm glad that they're going to be making some adjustments there, especially in, you know, Section 230 of the Communications Act. He brought that up too, how Twitter is now acting like a publisher and, you know, they edit what's allowed to be on their platform. Bryson Gray is going to be joining me now. Bryson, how do you feel now that Trump has signed this new executive order?
I love it. And I see a lot of conservatives talking about, oh, this is the government overreaching. But it's actually social media companies overreaching because we do have a First Amendment in this country. And I don't think anything should be above the First Amendment.
Definitely. And I mean, I think, you know, I'm so excited to see this, too, because there have been so many people that have been kicked off of Twitter just this year. You know, it's election year, and it seems like every single day the restrictions on Twitter get tighter and tighter. If you don't like Joe Biden or if you put out a clip that is anti-Democrat, what are some of the things that you've experienced personally with your social media? And why do you think that, you know, this is an important thing that he should have signed?
Twitter, they banned me from doing ads, and I don't even do ads on Twitter. I just got an email one day saying, you're banned from doing ads. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. I've been getting shadow banned on Twitter for months and months. They suspend me a lot for saying simple things like, you know, trans women are not real women. If I say something like that, then I'm instantly, you know, kicked off for like 24 hours or something. So we've been needing this. A lot of us have been asking for it. I know Alex Jones has been asking for it for a minute, and I'm happy that something is finally being done. I just hope I want to see a change. I want to actually see the change, though.
I agree with you, Bryson. And I was excited to see that he was finally signing this executive order today, but also another part of me was thinking, okay, but is this too little, too late? We've already seen them censoring people for the past 2 years. We've experienced shadow banning. I was just thinking about this earlier today. I feel like I get new followers every single day, but my follower count doesn't move. And I've also noticed as well with a lot of my tweets, I get half of the likes that I used to. And I'm like, I don't know if I just have really bad takes lately or if something's going on with my Twitter account, because this seems really fishy to me. I don't know. But I mean, what do you think, Bryson? Do you think that this is too little, too late, or do you think it's like better late than never?
It depends on the effect that this bill he just signed, executive order he just signed, it depends on the effect that it has. Will Alex Jones or others be able to come back on Twitter? Will Overshore be able to come back on Twitter? I want to see the effects of it before I give a real comment on it, but I am very happy he decided to actually address it with an executive order, because these social media companies, let's be real, they pretty much own the public square. You know what I'm saying? So if they start being able to apply this to certain people's tweets, of course it's usually conservatives. If they don't apply the same thing to liberals, when they do it, like on my Facebook, I see so much crap that never gets fact-checked. You know what I'm saying? I think all my, like, this is crazy. So I'm just glad he's finally addressing it.
Definitely. It will be interesting to see, too, like you said, you know, we have to wait and see the effects of this executive order and see what ultimately ends up happening with it. But it will be interesting to see if, like you said, like, people can get back on Twitter, if our discourse starts opening back up more on Twitter, if, you know, we start getting more traffic to our Twitter pages or whatnot. Like, it will be something to know, and we'll definitely have to keep watch over it over the next couple of months coming up. And do you think this is going to help Trump in 2020 now that we have the election coming up as well? What do you think?
I think it will. I think it's something a lot of people have been asking for. A lot of people have been noticing it. And it happened to Trump. Twitter tried to fact check Trump the other day, and it happened to him. So I think he's really starting to see this has been happening to conservatives. And a lot of people don't realize is it's really affecting like Christians that want to actually speak out, you know what I'm saying, and mm-hmm. say things that's biblically correct and accurate. You can literally get kicked off of any social media platform for that. You know what I'm saying? Even if it's just common sense stuff. You don't even got to be a Christian. Just say something common sense that's against the PC culture, and you're liable to get suspended or kicked off for a bit. So, hey, listen, I just hope something happens. In my opinion, Trump needs to just start a new platform where everybody go to Parler or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I have been seeing a lot of people say, like, everyone just needs to go to Parler because Twitter is trash. Facebook is trash. We can't deal with these social media platforms anymore. Everyone go to Parler. So I think, you know, it's time that everyone maybe moves over there. I don't know. Maybe we can see Owen Schroyer moving over there. I don't know if maybe he already does have a Parler account. We'll have to look into that for sure. But, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I miss Owen on Twitter. So if he make a Parler, I'm on Parler. Man, let's get on it and take that over. We can even try to get a few liberals on there and see what happens. Let's start the discourse on there and then see where it takes us.
Definitely, Bryson. And, you know, you had mentioned, too, how Twitter has now decided to start fact-checking Trump. Now, I thought it was super funny because the first tweet that they fact-checked was about mail-in ballots and how it's not easy to commit voter fraud with them, which we all know is an easily debunked lie. And then my favorite part of all of it was the fact that they used a CNN article, and that was the first article that they used to fact-check Trump. And, you know, go on Google, folks, and look up mail-in voter fraud. Just Google it for 5 minutes. I promise you, the fact check that Twitter gave you, that's fake news. If you do your own research, this is something that is so easily debunked and shown to be actually true, that mail-in voter fraud is a very real thing and something that we need to be looking at. All right, Bryson Gray and I will join you guys again on the other side. All right, y'all, we are back with another segment of the War Room. I like this nice chill music that we're coming on with. We got Bryson Gray dancing in the background. We got a nice chill vibe going. And you know, I needed that. I was a little bit flustered during this first hour. I'm sure you guys have noticed. And it's because I didn't take my brain force before the start of the show. This stuff is so essential, y'all. And I would highly recommend you guys go to InfoWarsStore.com and get a bottle right now because we have a huge sale going on. It's our Memorial Day sale. It is currently extended, and I would highly recommend you guys go and take advantage of that because we do not know when this sale is going to end, folks. Now, the best thing about the InfoWars store is that Alex always gives you guys the best discounts possible, and we've got some crazy ones going on right now. We have Super Male Vitality 40% off, Knockout 50% off, Brain Force 50% off, BioTrue Selenium 60% off, Chill Force 60% off, amongst so many others. So you're definitely going to want to go to the InfoWars store and scroll through all of those great products and take advantage of these sales while you still can, because who knows, y'all, this is here in this hour, but what if I'm plugging next hour and Alex has decided to end this special? Y'all never know, so go take advantage right now. But let's go ahead and get back to our interview with Bryson Gray. Now, Bryson, the reason I wanted to get you on was because, of course, everything that's currently going on in Minneapolis, the riots that are going on over there, you've had a couple of pretty good takes regarding these riots and regarding what's going on. And let me just read through a couple headlines here, but it's going crazy over there. A woman in a wheelchair was punched in the head during these riots because she was trying to protect a Target from some of the looters. People are going around saying, shoot the white folks. These riots have also stretched to L.A. as well. So this is not just something that is in Minneapolis. People in L.A. are also out in the streets. We have armed citizens. We played a clip of them trying to stop looters from attacking these private and small businesses. And then we have a pawn shop owner who actually shot a looter, and he's now booked on a murder accusation for defending his small business. So, Bryson, what do you make of all of the rioting that is currently going on in Minneapolis? Do you think that it's the proper response to the death of George Floyd?
Well, this is exactly what the media wanted, right? This is exactly what they wanted. Racial tension, division, attacks, people going crazy. The worst part about it to me is looting literally helps nothing. It has no logic to it. It has nothing to do with honoring George Floyd's death. It has nothing to do with just what at all. Half the people looting probably don't even know his name. They just know they can get some free TV. They're trying to get free bottles of Henny. They're going to call some sorties up, pull up to the crib later. I got this Henny and this new flat screen TV.
Oh my gosh. Listen,
I'm sorry. This is just the reality of it. So that's what I think about it. It's a bunch of nonsense. The police officers were in the wrong. Everybody agrees on that.
Everyone agrees.
But that's no reason to be looting and trying to get free TVs and Henny.
Definitely. And you know what's craziest to me, too, is, like I said, they're burning down low-income housing. They're burning down, like, local businesses, Target, AutoZone. I mean, what is going on? Why do you think, what is the mentality? Like, do you think it was the media? Do you think it's Democrat politicians? But why do you think that we've gotten to this point now where people think it's okay to loot and riot? And more importantly, that our politicians support it?
Well, not only do people support it, a lot, in my opinion, and a theory, a lot of this is funded. When I saw you reading off the headlines, I saw Black Lives Matter protests, Black Lives Matter protests. We already know who Black Lives Matter is funded by. We already know what their goal is. It's to cause all this nonsense. There's a lot of videos of people in the crowd from a bunch of different races, a bunch of white people inciting things, black people, Hispanics. So, listen, this is obviously orchestrated. in my opinion, from what I'm viewing. And, of course, people are going to follow because they see the free TVs and all this nonsense. It's a bunch of nonsense. And to watch a lot of people defend the riots and the looting, to watch people defend that, including black conservatives, it really disgusts me. That's disgusting, in my opinion. How are you defending that? Because you're defending this because of somebody died. What does looting this has to do with any of that? It has nothing to do with it. This is irrational. This is illogical, and it's craziness.
And, you know, y'all, do we have this clip I sent over? It was the mayor of Minneapolis. He actually came forward and gave a statement about the riots going on. Do we have that clip by chance, guys? Okay, let's go ahead and go to that clip, because this is what the mayor of Minneapolis, this is what his response was to the riots that have been going on for the past 2 days.
What we've seen over the last 2 days and the emotion-ridden conflict over last night is the result of so much built-up anger and sadness. Anger and sadness that has been ingrained in our black community, not just because of 5 minutes of horror, but 400 years. If you're feeling
okay,
that
you know what?
Sadness.
Let's just stop there. Let's just stop there, because Bryson just had the best reaction to this. He just had the biggest eye roll I've ever seen. Bryson, explain your reaction to that. And what do you think about the mayor and his statement on these riots?
I don't even got to hear no more. Not just 5 minutes, 400 years. Come on. Listen. I can't stand who will bring this up. And once again, slavery did happen. And you can even say, I can even say my great-grandparents, my grandparents actually went through oppression. But this generation and even my parents' generation, stop it. We haven't been through no horror. These type of situations where police does something like this is rare anyway. That's why people can only take advantage of them every 4 years, because not too many of them happen in that way. And secondly, we don't even know if this was a racial injustice. We don't know if this had anything to do with race. We did see celebrities posting a fake picture saying this was a guy with a make whites great again hat. We already know that's fake.
Mm-hmm.
Has Twitter flagged that yet?
Luckily enough, actually, Bryson, they did. They put a manipulated media thing, a little link. So that was good that they did that. But I think they had to do that because, you know, it went super viral. And yeah, Ice Cube shared it. It got a bunch of traffic. It was viral for half the day yesterday. So,
exactly.
You know, if they're going to fact check Trump, I'm glad that they finally, you know, I guess, used that for a good cause. But, you know, it was funny to me watching this clip of this mayor, though, too, because just watching his reaction, watching him up there, he looks so uncomfortable. And my first thought was, we as a society have made it to where white men can't speak without, like, especially on an issue like this. Like, you know, if he hadn't come out and said this, if he hadn't come out and tried to relate it back to slavery and how the black community is oppressed, I feel like he would have been demonized for it because he's a white man. And I kind of feel like that's the vibe that he's giving off as well.
But that's dangerous. Mm-hmm. How are you out here implying that this was a racist incident? We don't know that. There's no evidence pointing towards that. Not one bit. But we're going to say it's racist because you see a white man and a black man. But if you see a black man and a white man, the headline probably wouldn't say the colors. It'd probably just say, man kills 32-year-old man. They're not going to even put the colors in the title. But if it's a white man killing a black man, white man kills young black kid. You know, this is obvious. They're trying to manipulate our emotions. They've been doing it for years. They're still doing it. We're allowing it. When are we going to stop?
Right. And you know what? This also reminds me, too, and like I was saying, I laid this all out at the beginning of the show, but we have seen such an uptick in these types of stories that continue to sow racial division. Think about earlier this week, Jimmy Fallon got canceled for his skit from early 2000s being in blackface. And then the Central Park video that came out of two grown adults just, you know, having an argument in a park. And then it turned into this huge racial debate.
Nonsense. Oh, especially the Jimmy Fallon thing. Didn't conservatives bring this up during the whole governor, what's his name? During this, and nobody, the Democrats didn't care then, but all of a sudden, Democrats care about Jimmy Fallon
mm-hmm.
doing about, stop it. This is just, they just won't, They just want to manipulate emotions. That's all they want. It's working, unfortunately. There he go. Isn't he still in there?
Yeah, he is still governor, untouched. Untouched.
Oh, yeah, but Democrats care about stuff like this? Yeah. Okay, buddy.
No. Yeah, and we know that Joe Biden is still the Democratic nominee for 2020, despite his comments last Friday to Charlemagne the God. What do you think about those, Bryson?
I mean, hey, I'm not black, so I can't speak on it. Obviously, according to Joe Biden, I am not black because I do not have trouble figuring out who to vote for. I'm definitely voting for Trump. So obviously, I can't speak on these issues, naturally, how that go. But what he said is crazy. And I also watched black Democrats co-sign that statement, too. But then the next day come out their mouth and try to imply that Trump is racist. What is going on? We're living in a twilight zone.
Definitely, Bryson. Where can people go follow you for more of your content? You actually just put out a really good song, too, that's been going pretty viral. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Real Bryson Gray, Instagram at Bryson Creates. You can just type in Bryson Gray on Facebook and YouTube, and I'll come up. Just type in Bryson Gray. I should come up. Yes, professional liberal tear maker.
Thanks, Bryson. Welcome to the second hour of the War Room. We made it, folks. We were talking about the Minneapolis riots in that first hour, and now we are in hour two and about to be joined by Tom Papert. But I was talking to Bryson Gray about Joe Biden and just how ridiculous he is, and the fact that he's even in the running for president. It's just so funny. It's all such a big joke. And John Bowne actually did a great report on all of this. So let's go ahead and go to that now.
161 days out from the election, and Joe Biden wants you to know that he will beat Joe Biden.
I'm prepared to say that I have a record of over 40 years and that I'm going to beat Joe Biden.
Biden has set himself up for disaster. He is clearly an old-school racist from a bygone era. His latest statements have created a never-ending storm of criticism.
Do you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black?
That is the most arrogant, condescending comment I've heard in a very long time. 1.3 million African-Americans voted for Trump. He's saying to 1.3 million African-Americans that you're not black?
It was precisely the kind of thing that a lot of Democrats are worried about Biden doing again and again on the campaign trail.
I've been fighting against this notion that you're not black enough unless you think a certain way, you vote a certain way, you speak a certain way, you do certain things. My whole life, it is Black Voices for Trump and their statement. I'm just going to read the first couple of sentences. White liberal elitists have continuously dictated which black Americans are allowed to come to the table and have a voice. It is clear now more than ever, following these racist and dehumanizing remarks, that Joe Biden believes black men and women are incapable of being independent or free thinking. He truly believes that a 77-year-old white man should dictate how black people should behave.
Democrats are scrambling to normalize the damage as their schizophrenic ideology clashes within their own ranks.
I've never, ever, ever taken the African-American community for granted. I shouldn't have been such a wise guy.
Nothing has changed in America for black America. And in order for us to vote for Biden, we can't be taken for granted like we always are because we're supposed to be Democrats or because people are afraid of Trump. It's whoever's going to take care of our community. Our vote is not for free. Whoever wants to make a deal, it's business at this point. You know, we can't trust politicians.
The level of hubris it takes for a white man, an old white man, or any white person to even ingest, say that he can determine who is black and who isn't is clearly outlandish. But even in jest, these are kind of the kind of comments that could be problematic. But he clearly knows his audience.
I had the privilege of working directly with the vice president. Actually, he swore me in as U.S. ambassador to South Africa. I know that he's a conscious, thoughtful person on these issues.
Regardless, everyone knows that Joe Biden doesn't stand a chance. We are all just patiently awaiting what will be the most embarrassing presidential debate in U.S. history.
No man has a right to raise a hand to a woman in anger, and so we have to just change the culture, period, and keep punching at it and punching at it and punching at it.
Ukrainian foreign minister said on Thursday,
that the United States ambassador did not link financial military assistance to a request for Ukraine to open up an investigation into former vice president and current Democratic president. Can you believe? Like, we need help to beat sleepy Joe Biden? I don't think so.
President Trump has helped create a $75 billion investment into the poorest communities, and now Lindsey Graham and the president are working to bring broadband into those poorest areas. The ability to connect people who today are unconnected for learning, for medicine, and for jobs of the future. Mm-hmm. What has but Joe Biden done in the last 20 years? And the answer is crickets.
John Bound reporting.
All right, we are back on the War Room. My name is Savannah Hernandez, and this hour I am going to be joined by Tom Papert of National File, and we are going to get into a lot of the great headlines that he currently has up, but let's go ahead and talk about the fact that Trump signed that executive order and what it entails. Now, apparently Trump has signed the executive order that he said calls for the FCC to revisit Section 230 of the Communications and Decency Act of 1996, which provides websites immunity from liability for content users' posts on their platforms. So very interesting that he finally got around to signing this, something that we all here at InfoWars have been fighting for the past 2 years, for a long time, for free speech. It's always been about that, and I'm glad that Trump is finally on board with that and pushing the boat in the right direction. So, Tom, what do you think about Trump signing this executive order? How do you feel about it?
Well, Savannah, it's great to be here, and I feel great. Like you, I'm very excited President Trump is finally doing this. I do think it is a bit long overdue, but I also think this is exactly, I mean, we'll see. Of course, I haven't read the text of the official order. I read a draft earlier today, and I've been reading media reports. We're working on an article about it at nationalfile.com. But should it be similar to the draft that I read earlier this morning that was leaked, this is exactly what we need. I mean, these big tech platforms, Twitter, Google, Facebook, all of them, they exist in this legal gray area where they're not a publisher. It's not like if InfoWars published something that turned out to be completely false and in fact libelous, then they could be sued for it. No, that's not what Facebook and Twitter and YouTube are. But at the same time, it's not an open forum where you get to go and say whatever you want so long as you're not breaking the law by advocating violence or threatening or doxing or something like that. No, they've existed in this weird legal gray area. And for the past 3.5-4 years now, ever since President Trump was inaugurated and the tech censorship really stepped up, this is what the big experts have been calling for, to strip them of their Section 230 CDA immunity that makes them special little snowflakes that you cannot touch no matter how good your case may seem in a court of law. So if this works out, especially the criteria where it's not just about the president, that's what a lot of people, myself included, when he was fact-checked the other day, I was concerned, okay, this is going to be just about President Trump. He's going to just make it so you cannot fact-check his Twitter. But no, this looks like every single person who is incorrectly or who is has their political beliefs used against them to ban them, to shadow ban them, to censor them, whatever the case may be, is going to have a case to essentially sue these social media platforms, or perhaps even better, the government may get involved with some sort of fine through the FCC. So, Savannah, this is perhaps the best day of the Trump administration in a very long time, and I'm glad it has nothing to do with killing some guy in the Middle East. I'm glad it has nothing to do with signing some horrible piece of legislation from the Republicans or the Democrats. I'm glad it has nothing to do with coronavirus. No, this is about the First Amendment. This is about the most important part of the Constitution of the United States of America, and we finally have a president who is going to protect it.
And I'm glad that he did sign on to this executive order as well, and he is holding Twitter accountable, because we've seen just in the past day that the head of Twitter's fact-checking, apparently his name is Yoel Roth. He has a history of anti-Trump tweets. He's equated the Trump administration to a bunch of Nazis. He's called flyover states racist. So, you know, these are the people, too, who are allowed to dictate what's fact and what's fiction. And it's just like that Twitch streamer, too, that is allowed to figure out, you know, and say who can say what on their platforms. And she's this person that's like, oh yeah, I don't like white people, or this is bad, this is bad. Like, stuff that your average person wouldn't consider as a bad thing or something that should be censored, this one specific person thinks is bad and is going to take off of that platform entirely. Not only that, but apparently Twitter is partnered with a group that pushes mail-in ballots. So this is an interesting story because, of course, they did choose the voter fraud tweet from President Trump as their first tweet to fact check. And again, they linked that to a CNN article that said that those were unsubstantiated claims. But again, anyone can do a 5-minute search on Google and see that voting voter fraud through mail-in ballots is a very real and big thing. So I'm glad that he's finally taking control of that front. But, I have another question too that I'm asking all of our guests today, and that is, do you think that this is too little too late? Do you think that this is something, well, we know that this is something that Trump should have acted on a while back, but what do you think?
Well, I was speaking to somebody about an hour ago before this was signed, maybe 2 hours ago now, somebody who runs a fairly successful alt tech platform. And that's sort of what he was afraid of, that this might be like changing the plans for D-Day 5 years after the landing. But I think that at this point, you have to do something, and I'm glad that something has finally been done. It would have been nice if this had been done 2 years ago when Alex Jones was first banned, or 1 year ago when Gavin McInnes, Milo Yiannopoulos, Paul Joseph Watson, Laura Loomer, so many other people were then banned from Facebook. It's unfortunate, and I do believe that it might be bad PR to some of the diehard Trump supporters, especially those watching this broadcast, to see President Trump only act after he is personally attacked by these big tech platforms, but it's better than nothing. And I'll say one other thing, Savannah. You mentioned this lunatic at Twitter who calls Trump the orange buffoon and all these things, and he's a higher-up who makes these decisions. Well, about a year and a half ago, I did the same exact digging over at Facebook, and I found out the woman who quarterbacked Alex Jones' second Facebook ban when he was totally and completely removed from Facebook, not even allowed to have a personal profile, the same woman who got Paul Joseph Watson taken off, Milo Yiannopoulos, Laura Loomer, all of these people. It turns out that person worked both in Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. She worked for the Clinton Global Initiative. She worked for an organization that is controlled entirely by one of Hillary Clinton's right-hand men. This woman is about as crooked as you can get. And this is the woman who apparently was quarterbacking the bans of Alex Jones. And you mentioned this lunatic on Twitch who is, I believe, has something to do with the ADL, and she's now being hired. And I say she, but I think that is the wrong pronoun. This is a demi-queer trans deer, D-E-E-R, where it's an animal. This individual identifies as an animal, and they have, I don't know if this is TV appropriate, I apologize in advance, but she has had, and I quote, deergasms on camera. And this is the person who is going to be banning people for saying hate speech on Twitch, the popular video game streaming platform. So the lunatics are truly running the asylum here. They've had no legal repercussions for years, and it's time that we finally end this. And I'm very excited the president is doing that now.
Tom, I'm mad at you for bringing up the deergasms thing. I specifically tried to avoid that. That was going viral on Twitter, too, when that first came out. And I was like, oh, gosh, I don't want to watch this. But it keeps coming up on my timeline. It's so gross. It's so weird. And more importantly, why the hell is this person allowed to dictate what is the truth and what is not? This person doesn't even identify as a biological gender, and they're allowed to dictate the truth. What is going on in this world? And, you know, so many people, too, have been very red-pilled, I guess, by big tech censorship. I think that was one of the biggest things that changed my mind, was realizing that our thoughts are so monitored and big tech is really allowed to dictate what you can see, what you can consume every single day, ultimately manipulating what you think at the end of the day. So we have a couple of clips here from when Trump was signing his executive order. Bill Barr was also in the room with him, and he made a couple of great comments on why Twitter and all these big tech companies initially got so big. So let's go ahead and go to that clip now.
Important step to get back to the original understanding. You know, there's a bit of a bait and switch that's occurred in our society. These companies grew because they held themselves out as public forums, as free public forums where a variety of voices and diverse voices could come on and be heard.
That's how they grew. That's how they attracted the eyeballs. That's why people joined them. But now that they have become these very powerful networks of eyeballs, now that they've grown by holding themselves out as free public forums, they've now switched. And they are using that market power to force particular viewpoints. And that's wrong. And it has to be addressed not only through this executive order, but I think litigation going forward and by further action on Capitol Hill.
A free public forum. You know, I didn't join Twitter too long ago, but when I did, I don't think it was ever that for me. So I'm glad that we're finally getting this executive order on the ground. We're getting the ball rolling. Hopefully this is going to help Trump out come November 3rd, because a lot of people were calling for this. Savannah Hernandez and Tom Papert on the other side of this short break. Aw, thanks, guys. Playing my favorite, Kanye West, to bring in the next segment of the War Room. Savannah Hernandez sitting in, joined by Tom Papert. He and I are going through some of today's top headlines and the biggest stories. We just talked about Trump signing that executive order pertaining to social media and Section 230 of the Communications Act, and how that could fundamentally change free speech on social media for the better for all of us. So great segment, Tom. Thank you so much for breaking that down for us. And I do want to now get into, of course, another big story going on today, and that is the riots going on in Minneapolis. Give us your take on them. What do you think about the whole situation?
Well, Savannah, it is heartbreaking to see something like this happen. It seems to be the status quo, the modus operandi for when a police killing is considered to be unjust. I personally believe that there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, we've all seen the video by now, and it's absolutely sickening. It looks to be a broad daylight execution of the poor man. I don't know any other way to say it. I'll be interested to see what the authorities wind up saying. President Trump has even called for federal authorities to look into it, as it seems to be totally unjust. But then this, I mean, predictably but tragically, led to a massive riot. It led to mass looting. It led to fires. It led to businesses, automobiles being destroyed. You see these images of Minneapolis, Minnesota right now, and we have some of them up on the website on National File, and it just looks like something out of a nuclear apocalypse. It's horrifying to see this, to see the police totally stand down and let this happen. You see people storming into Targets, and they're coming out with $400 vacuum cleaners and flat screen TVs. One man was killed last night, an alleged looter who was allegedly going to loot a pawn shop. Well, the pawn shop owner was there and defended his property, so another man has been killed as a part of this. There was the disabled woman in a motorized wheelchair who allegedly was trying to defend a Target store with a pocket knife, and the rioters, looters, whatever you want to call the individuals participating, whatever you call them, they weren't happy with this, so they confiscated the pocket knife from her, and then they began throwing things at her and hitting her and punching her, and at one point sprayed her with a fire extinguisher. So what you're seeing right now is not all that dissimilar to what we saw happen in St. Louis, Missouri a few years ago, in Ferguson. We've seen this all throughout the country, all the way going back to the 1990s, where you had the Rodney King riots. And it's just, it's very bizarre to me that this is how individuals will choose to fight back against injustice in their society. I would like for this to be channeled in a good way. And I would also just remind everybody, I mean, we have in the year 2020 seen a spate of unjustified police killings. There was a man by the name of Duncan Limp on the East Coast just a couple months ago, who in the middle of a no-knock red flag warrant raid, they killed him. I believe they either injured or killed his girlfriend because somebody
Breonna
said he
Taylor,
was dangerous.
Yeah. She was
exactly
killed. Mm-hmm.
And we see this repeated over and over and over again. The police in this country, I mean, conservatives should have listened to both Alex Jones and our friends on the civil left who warned us about the militarization of police 10 years ago. Conservatives did not listen to this because we love our law enforcement. We back the blue. And now we are reaping those rewards.
And you know, Tom, you do make a really great point, too, because with all of these coronavirus lockdowns, I've seen both sides of conservatives, I guess conservatives have split into two groups, and now we have two sides. We have one side that's saying, I've never seen so many conservatives turn against the police. And then we have another side saying, well, I've never seen so many police turn against the Constitution. So So very important point that you made there, too, just in the fact that, you know, the militarization of the police is something that is now being used. And, you know, more importantly as well, I realize that when people have a sense of authority and a sense of power, like this police officer, whether or not he intended to kill this man, obviously he felt like he had the authority to do that, to handle this gentleman or this man in this way. And he had that, I guess, yeah, sense of power. And it reminds me of our politicians in just like these past couple of months with the lockdowns. Once people get into that position of authority, they abuse it. And we've seen that with, for example, this police officer, or for Governor Gavin Newsom, Andrew Cuomo, Whitmer. We see these people in these positions and they tend to abuse that authority. And, you know, they definitely are different situations comparing like the government lockdowns to the situation that happened with George Floyd. But it is the same in the sense that they finally got to these positions and they're abusing them. So very interesting on that front. And you had brought up as well that Trump had ordered an expedited federal investigation of George Floyd's death. And Maxine Waters actually came out and is now trying to blame Trump for the cops killing of black people. So she says, she said that he thinks, or she thinks, that the way that the president conducts himself in a way is a dog whistle. And she thinks that the police can get away with this kind of treatment, and they feel like they can get away with this type of treatment towards black Americans because of Donald Trump. What do you think about these types of comments? And what do you think about this rhetoric from politicians furthering the divide in our community?
Well, Maxine Waters is obviously an insane person who is also suffering from the Joe Biden-style senility. She doesn't remember that just a year or so ago, she was the one who went out and said, if you see a Trump supporter, if you see an administration official in public, get in their face. Get in their face at the gasoline station and tell them that it's not okay. So this is a race-baiting, lying career politician who has become rich while somehow become rich while serving the American people. It doesn't surprise me she would say this. And I've seen the left-wing narrative that President Trump, while referring to the Antifa protesters who used to storm the gates of his rallies, saying the police should arrest them, the police should not be so concerned about being politically correct, they should rough them up. There is a marked difference between that type of circumstance and what we saw in Minnesota, where it turned out, from my understanding, and the facts are still coming out, but the man had a counterfeit $20 bill that either he had and knew it was counterfeit, or somebody passed it to him and it was counterfeit. And as a result, the shop owner calls the police, and we all know what happened next. The two situations have nothing to do with each other, but this is, I mean, we saw this with, of course, Ahmaud Arbery, where the police are just arresting anybody within a 5-mile radius of that incident. And the Democrats and Sean King, Talcum X, all these people tried to use it as an excuse to create and foment a race war in this country. So, of course, the Democrats have a vested interest in this. As you said, Savannah, they want control. They used coronavirus to get a bunch of control. They can use deteriorating race relations to get a bunch more control. That's what this is really all about. Divide and conquer tactics from Her Majesty, the Queen of the Democrat Party, her and Nancy Pelosi reigning together, Maxine Waters. We shouldn't be surprised, but Maxine somehow finds, you know, this is what happens when people have a safe seat. They find a new low each and every day.
Right. And, you know, Maxine Waters, of course, too, isn't the only politician who is furthering this divide. Ilhan Omar yesterday, she was tweeting out that the anger of these rioters was justified. And she actually added to that thread an hour later, after she was getting a lot of backlash, you know, for being on the side of these people who were burning down the city. And then she was like, OK, well, we need to keep the peace and we need to protest peacefully. But initially, she, again, is another one of these politicians that's promoting this type of behavior. All right, Tom. So in that last segment, you and I were talking about the riots currently going on in Minneapolis, and these riots have also extended to Los Angeles. I remember scrolling through Twitter last night and I was watching videos of the protesters over there burning the American flag and screaming, F America, F the police. And seeing videos of people burn the American flag always just strikes a chord in me. It makes me so upset and angry to see that, because I have sat down with so many veterans and listened to the stories of them going to war and all of the things that they experienced and all of what you know, they give up their lives. They give up their just everything, their families, time with their families to go out and serve our country. So to see people burning the flag and disrespecting the country like that, it really bothers me a lot. And when I saw this video, I thought, okay, cool. So you can go out and you can riot and you can protest as long as you're screaming F America. And I wanted to go through some of the headlines from this past week, because something else to note, I really do think that this week is going to mark the end of coronavirus news. It's still there, but it's not going to be pushed as heavily. It's not going to be centerfold in our news anymore, because now the news is starting to make everything about racial division and the racial divide. And I just wanted to go through some of just the headlines from this past weekend, because it was Memorial Day and there were big crowds out at the beaches, in Missouri, in Maryland, enjoying the sun, enjoying the weather. And Dr. Birx came out and said that she was very concerned about these overcrowded scenes. And even officials in Missouri slammed the people who went out for Memorial Day as irresponsible and dangerous. Okay, so that's the rhetoric that we were seeing from the people who went out to the beach this weekend in the sun, you know, where the virus isn't at, because we all know that outside the sun can kill viruses. So that's some of the rhetoric that we were getting from the crowds this past weekend. And my question is, are Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx going to come out and condemn the protests over the riots? I'm sorry, I keep calling them protests. They're riots over the past 2 days in Los Angeles and Minneapolis, because those seem way more dangerous and irresponsible than people going out on Memorial Day. What do you think, Tom?
Well, that's a great question. It does certainly seem irresponsible for all of these protesters to be getting so close together. Some of them are not wearing masks. However, it does seem convenient that many of them just so happened to have a mask on hand when they decided to go out and break several laws and commit a lot of crimes. Dr. Birx, I will give her credit where credit's due. She has been less politically involved. She's not commenting on things like gay sex hookup apps like Fauci is, but we did just have Fauci come out a month ago and say that while churches must be closed, you're not allowed to see your grandma, stay in your house, never ever leave, and if you leave, you want to kill the elderly. We have that guy come out and say, of course, if you want to go get a hookup, if you want to have casual sex with somebody you met on either Grindr or Tinder, that is an A++, so long as you're willing to accept the risk. So we're not going to see Fauci. I would be shocked. I would eat my hat if Fauci came out and condemned these protesters, not just for breaking the law, but for violating social distancing. And Savannah, I had the same thought. I thought, oh, okay, so that, you know, it's terrible when conservatives go to their state capitol and peacefully assemble and say that we want to be allowed to open our businesses and go to church and get a haircut and live our lives as normal human beings. That's bad.
It's not even bad, Tom. The media was saying we were Nazis for that. Nazis.
Right. Saying there were swastika flags at all of these protests. But again, if you want to go loot a Target, if you want to burst into a pawn shop and go out with a flat screen TV, if you want to beat up a disabled wheelchair bound woman because she's trying to stop you, all of that is completely okay. You don't even have to wear a mask, but it would help if you wore a bandana, not to fight the spread of coronavirus and help to flatten that curve. No. You need to wear the mask so the police can't identify you in the security footage.
Exactly. And I saw so many people, conservatives specifically, who were still so on board with this coronavirus lockdown, wake up this morning and finally snap out of all of the lies that we've been fed over the past couple of months and say, okay, how come it is that anti-lockdown protesters were called Nazis, they were called virus spreaders, they were told that they were insensitive, that they didn't care about their fellow American, that they needed to be social distancing? How come that was the media rhetoric for months? The media was attacking these people for so long. And now we wake up today I have not seen, and we will not see, one media story about how these protesters were not properly social distancing or how these rioters in Minneapolis were spreading the coronavirus or how these rioters are literal Nazis for not caring about their fellow American and not wearing a face mask. We're not going to see any of that type of coverage for these riots. But those anti-lockdown protests, that was what that coverage was specifically for. And I think a lot of people woke up this morning too, and finally did snap out of this because they realized that this was all overly exaggerated by the media for months. We have thousands of people in the street right now rioting. Do you think that the media is going to say, oh my gosh, now there's going to be 2.2 million dead because people went out in the street and rioted? No, they're not going to, because they're not going to. They are not going to equate these riots to the spread of a disease, for one, because that's how the media works. And for two, if they did that, I mean, they can't even do it because they've created this monster themselves. You know, like, they're so hypocritical. And this is another example of that. And a lot of people are finally waking up and saying, okay, well, if thousands of people can be in the street in Minneapolis, maybe this disease really isn't as deadly as we all thought.
Well, Savannah, and this is going to be one fantastic moment where not just Memorial Day, but where, by the way, I believe that Kansans were advised to self-quarantine for 14 days if they vacationed in Missouri for Memorial Day weekend. But not just that, this little flashpoint, both flashpoints in Minneapolis and in Los Angeles, it's going to be proof. If in 2 weeks, you know, they say this thing can remain dormant, no symptoms for 10 to 14 days. If in 2 weeks there is not an explosion, I mean, it should be massive. We should have thousands of people getting horribly ill 10 days from today because of what we saw in these two cities. If that doesn't happen, what more proof does the average individual need to know that this was all complete hogwash? It was all complete over-exaggerated Bravo Sierra. What more proof do you need? There should be people dropping like flies because of this. If that doesn't happen, then we know that Bill Gates was wrong. We know that Anthony Fauci was wrong. We know that the bodybuilder Cuomo over at CNN was wrong. And it'll be fantastic. I hope that these people don't get sick. I hope that they're completely fine. I don't hope the riots continue for 2 weeks, but I hope we see some of these people in 2 weeks and they're just completely fine. And I predict that's what will happen.
I predict that as well, Tom. And I'm not even afraid to say that with 100% confidence, we're not going to see a coronavirus spike in Minneapolis. It's not even going to be reported on or focused on, even if there is. And, you know, this headline came out by the Washington Post today, and I just thought it was hilarious. It says, coronavirus may never go away, even with a vaccine. So remember, we've been told that we can't reopen until there's a vaccine. And now we're saying, oh, well, coronavirus is never going to go away, even with a vaccine. So again, more examples of how the media is, again, just fear-mongering, saying, oh, well, we needed a vaccine. Well, actually, if we have a vaccine, coronavirus might still never go away. So maybe we should never leave our houses. And this has been one of my favorite headlines of coronavirus so far, because it's true. And the information in it is just so funny to me. It says, coronavirus, wearing a cloth face mask is less about science and more about solidarity. And it goes on to say that the average coronavirus particle is from 0.07 to 0.0 micrometers. Okay. Now your N95 mask, the weave of it is 0.03. So it's able to filter out the coronavirus, right? Now, your homemade face mask or handkerchief is about 1,000 times bigger than your N95 mask. And that was the funniest statistic to me, because I was just like, so basically all of these people are wearing handkerchiefs and masks, surgical masks, and it's doing absolutely nothing. We've already known that this whole entire time, but again, just a striking example of how the media is going to be covering these riots as opposed to how they covered the anti-lockdown protests over these past couple of months. Welcome back to the second hour of the War Room. This is how we do it. We go to the InfoWarsStore.com and take advantage of these great sales, y'all. Right now, we currently have our Memorial Day Super Sale extended, and we have a lot of really great products on sale for you folks. So I'd highly recommend everyone jump over to InfoWarsStore.com and take advantage of those, especially since we do have a lot of our best sellers back in stock. For example, our Ultimate Krill Oil, it's 50% off and it's currently back in stock. We have our Survival Shield X2 back in stock. Now, these are two products that are constantly selling out because they are so great. They're so potent. They're going to be so good for your mental health, your clarity, your overall life. And that's why they're constantly getting sold out. The Ultimate Krill Oil was sold out for a couple months. So I'd highly recommend that now that we have this back in the store, everyone jump over there immediately, because not only is it back, but it's on sale, y'all. 50% off. This is an amazing product that's going to give you mental clarity. It's going to help you through the day to, you know, stay on top of your game, because that's what we need, especially right now in 2020. We're only halfway in, and look at all the things that are being thrown at us. It's such a constant work to keep up with all of the news and everything that's going on. So we need to keep our bodies healthy. We need to keep our minds clear. And the best way that you can do that is by going to InfoWarsStore.com. I know a lot of the times, too, it's very overwhelming to try to get into taking supplements. Well, at InfoWars Store, we have something called the 8-Pack Power Stack. I really love this product because it is very difficult to understand what types of supplements you might need for your body, but this is a great product because it's a pill pack of all of the pills you need in the morning and all of the vitamins you need at night, and you can just take that morning and night, and there you go. We have everything that you need, and there is krill oil in that pack as well, so I'd highly recommend you get that, and that is currently 70% off, folks. It's currently $120. It's now $35. That's insane. I might have to buy an 8-pack power stack actually after I get off the air. That's a great sale. So hop on over there and take advantage, folks. Now let's go ahead and get back to our conversation with Tom Papert. Tom, I was saying that I really do think that these riots are kind of a pivotal point for us this year, where people are going to start taking a step away from coronavirus, and we are now going to start transitioning back into, I guess, normal life, or people going outside. The mentality that if you go outside, you're not going to automatically die. And again, this is an extreme example of that, but it is nevertheless another example. What do you think about that? Do you think that people are still going to be adhering to these lockdowns, especially after seeing this example of so many people going out in mass? What do you think?
I think that normal individuals have been sick of this for a long time. I mean, I'll be completely honest. In National File, we were covering coronavirus all day, every day, as was the entire media, for the first half of this month. And about halfway through the month, we're sitting there thinking, people are not reading our articles. People are not engaging with the content. What are we doing? Well, let's stop talking about coronavirus. Let's start talking. Let's keep talking about how it's being used to curtail freedom. Let's keep talking about how it's a big money grab operation. But let's stop just with the day in, day out, corona, corona, corona. And people have responded. Our readership has exploded like never before, because now we're one of the few media outlets who is not talking about coronavirus all day, every day. So I think normal, intelligent, adult human beings are going to go back to living their lives normally as the government allows. Now, there's the caveat. Just yesterday, we reported in National File, we got the plan. We know how L.A., which is a smoldering crater after these riots, we know how they're going to reopen their schools. And among their insanity, students will wear a mask all day long. Students will be confined to one classroom the entire day. Students will be forced to remain 6 feet apart from their fellow students in the one classroom. Lunch will be served in their classroom where they spend the entire day. They will have to be visually witnessed thoroughly washing their hands for 20 seconds, both before and after removing their mask to eat their food. A recess will consist of students being separated by 6 feet and given one sterilized ball, which they can play with by themselves, socially isolated. So what we're seeing here, anywhere that the government has a say, this coronavirus control will continue. Anywhere where the free market, where the beautiful American people have a say, life will go back to normal. And I hope that we can start to wrestle some of this control back away from the government. Otherwise, this will likely be just like the TSA, where they grope us for our security after 9/11, when everybody's afraid. And here we are almost 20 years later, and they're still groping 5-year-old kids to keep us safe when there hasn't even been an attempt to hijack a plane in God knows how many years.
And Tom, I'm glad that you brought up this story because it's actually the exact one that I printed out and I did want to get to. And you made a couple of really great points within it that these kids now have to eat alone in their classrooms, that they have to self-isolate at recess. And it really got me thinking about the fact that we had a generation who was raised with social media. And through the use of social media, that started the distance between people actually talking to each other in real life. And we've seen the repercussions of that. We've seen the fall of the traditional family, how women now think that feminism is such a great thing and that they need to be independent. And we've seen how that mindset has changed through social media and through all of these platforms where it's not people actually talking to each other and experiencing real life with each other. It's now people talking to each other through a screen. And now we're going to have this next generation of kids that is going to be even more isolated because on top of, you know, everyone's already on their phones, but on top of that, these kids are going to be eating alone in their classrooms. They're not even going to be able to socialize in the classroom setting anymore.
Well, you're right, and I hope that the one thing, of course, we've also seen, as we've seen the explosion in young moronic leftist children, we've also seen an explosion in young, intelligent, traditional conservative children, and I hope that, you know, the big argument against homeschool, you can't homeschool your kids, it turns them into socially awkward weirdos who don't know how to survive in the real world. Well, when they remove all elements of social interaction from public school, what is the argument then? Oh, I don't know what to do. Okay, get a home. Well, guess what? In Los Angeles, they're not going to be able to have all their kids in schools. A lot of kids are going to be doing virtual school anyway. So get a virtual school program for your kids. So my hope is that this backfires. I'm hoping against hope. Who knows? Maybe parents will prove to be the overwhelming majority of parents will prove to be lazy and not want to homeschool their kids. But I'm hoping we see an explosion in homeschooling, that parents take their children out of this. And if that happens, if we have parents teaching their children, parents giving their values on down to their children, as we saw in the old days before public education became the globalist behemoth that it is now, you're going to see an absolute explosion in this youngest generation of people who are intelligent, who are critical thinkers, who will think twice before bowing and groveling in their face mask before authority. So hopefully it works out for the best. If not, these kids are going to be raised to accept Big Brother, to accept 1984, to accept A Brave New World. They will essentially be raised to be prisoners. By the time they're 18, they'll be ready to go directly to the FEMA camp where the warden will tell them what to eat, when to sleep, when to think.
And this has been such a great hour, Tom. I really had a lot of fun talking to you and getting through all of this news. And so for these next couple of minutes, just your final takeaway and your final, I guess, statement to our listeners today, where do you see all of this, everything that's been going on in 2020, where do you see this going in the next couple of months? We have the election coming up. So where do you see all of this going? What is all of this leading to?
Well, Savannah, it's an incredibly exciting but dangerous time right now. I am the biggest news story of the day will remain this executive order. So long as it's not farmed out to deep state members of the government, this has the potential to really change the landscape of America as we know it. If the freedom of speech, the First Amendment, is respected again, then these riots, we're going to be able to tell the truth about. Coronavirus, we're going to be able to tell the truth about it. There will be no more of this insane doublethink that we all have to engage in order to be able to speak at all. In fact, one of the reasons why I love coming on this show, why I love coming on InfoWars in general, is because it's the one place where, aside from not using expletives, because the FCC doesn't like that, I can actually say what I think. And even then, Savannah, Facebook tells me that they will, if I say something on this broadcast, they might ban me for that. And Twitter says the same, because they will ban you for off-platform behavior. So if this executive order goes through, you will have a domino effect, assuming that it is successful in its intents. You will have a domino effect that will free society from the mental shackles put on us by Zuckerberg and Saudi Arabia and China and Google with Susan and Ajit Sundar Pichai. All of these shackles will be removed, and we will see freedom like never before.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Tom. Great interview, as always. Definitely go to nationalfile.com. There's always great breaking articles, the news that you want to read and want to listen to from Tom Papert. This has been Savannah Hernandez, and I will be joined by Ashley St. Clair in this next upcoming hour.
Alyssa Milano recently put out a tweet that says, "Show me your mask. Masks keep people safe and healthy. Show me yours. Ready? Go. Hashtag wear a mask." Now, for those of you who don't know who Alyssa Milano is, she is a very respected high IQ philosopher, and she has a PhD. I'm totally kidding. She's actually a hashtag MeToo advocate who supports Joe Biden. So that's basically all I need to say about that. So she put out a picture of her wearing a crocheted face mask. And as you see, it has holes in it everywhere. Now, the mask that her husband has on, yeah, that's probably okay. That's probably what you should be wearing. But hers is basically just a symbol of liberals right now during everything that's happening. This is what they resort to, a crocheted face mask. So what I'm going to do is I have a bunch of items here of things you could use as a mask that work just as well, if not better, than Alyssa Milano's crocheted face mask. I'm going to show you how to wear them. Let's go. First up is a sandal. Now, it's really good if the sandal is a little bit worn because it smells really good that way. Now, unfortunately for Alyssa, you are going to need to have actual masks on hand. So you'll just cut the earpieces off, tape them to each end, and put on as clothes. I feel very safe. I'm feeling very safe and healthy. Thank you, Alyssa. Rate this one 1 out of 10. I give it a 2 because it falls off. The next one is just a common household candle. It is good if it's been burned down a little bit, so it's not as heavy. You're just going to do one of these. Now this one you do have to hold up a little bit because it is heavy, but healthy and safe. Thank you, Alyssa. Now this one right here that I'm assembling, it actually only works if you've recently gotten married, like me. You are going to assemble this on a wedding card that your family members have sent you to congratulate you on your wedding. So you're just going to tape it end to end. And I know I'm like being goofy here with this video, but I actually think this one does 100% work better than her crocheted face mask. You can flip it around so that the card opens this way instead. I got this because of your support for my work at patreon.com/CaitlinBennett. Maybe a picture of me and these face masks that I am bringing to you guys will be the next perk for an autographed photo. Very innovative. You can get these by supporting my work at patreon.com/CaitlinBennett. This next one is very easy, actually. You don't have to assemble anything at all. While glasses usually go up here, you're just going to move it down a little bit, and you're done. If a store requires masks, you can actually just double up. This one is actually hot off the market. Now, the holes are a little bigger than Alyssa's, but I kind of went off the whole open mask concept. We have tons of face masks at CaitlinBennett.org. This is one of them, so this has actually been proven to be more effective than Alyssa Milano's face mask there in that picture, so this is certified. And this last mask that I'm about to show you is my absolute favorite. It already comes with antibacterial properties. So it's basically just the same concept here. Now you can make these with any household product, and it's fun for the entire family. All right, assembly is completed, and now we just apply. And you know, it doesn't always worked perfect. Alyssa Milano, when she...
All right, y'all, we made it. We are in hour three of the War Room, and I am very excited because I am about to be joined by one of my very good friends, Ashley St. Clair. Now, of course, the biggest news story of today is the fact that President Trump has signed that executive order that is calling for the FCC to revisit Section 230 of the Communications and Decency Act, which again, has to do with social media, censoring people, censoring free speech. So we're going to be getting into that, but I want to take a step back and kind of just flash us back to what social media was like before this executive order even got signed, and what social media has been like since President Trump has gotten to office. Now, I wanted to get Ashley on because a while back, she actually got suspended on Twitter, and she got suspended for tweeting out that there were only two genders. However, people on Twitter today who are not conservative or are who are very pro-Democrat are allowed to say things like, I wish the coronavirus had killed more men. So Ashley St. Clair joins me now to discuss this. So Ashley, okay, talk to us about this tweet. When were you initially suspended? Because I know it wasn't recently, correct?
Correct. It was back in December of last year. So like 2018, this was back before I had a following. I had maybe 8,000 followers, and I tweeted something about there only being two genders and gender dysphoria being in the DSM-5, and I was suspended.
How long were you suspended for?
72 hours.
Because you tweeted that there are only two genders.
Yes, yes. And I, more specifically, I said that, you know, gender dysphoria is in the DSM-5, which it absolutely was, and they said that it was hateful conduct, and they suspended my account for that. Whereas people like Clementine Ford are able to tweet that there are, you know, more, men aren't dying fast enough from coronavirus and facing zero consequences for this.
Right. So I wanted to bring this up because I think that this is a great example of what Twitter has been like for conservatives or for people who don't necessarily have an opinion that goes along with the rest or the mainstream media, I guess you could say, suspended for only saying that there's two genders, talking about, this in this sense. And now in 2020, Clementine Ford is again allowed to say that men are not dying fast enough from coronavirus. So that's what Twitter has been like. President Trump did sign this executive order today. How are you feeling about all of it? Do you think that this was a step in the right direction? Do you think that this was too little, too late?
I think this was definitely a step in the right direction. You know, Twitter really opened up a can of worms when they put that fact check on Trump's tweet, you know, because they refused to identify themselves as either a publisher or a public forum. And if you're a publisher, you are responsible for what is posted on your site. And the second that they put this fact check on President Trump's tweet, they were taking on the role of a publisher. But they are also not taking on the legal responsibilities of this. So if we look at, you know, Ice Cube, I'm not sure if you saw that, but Ice Cube tweeted out a photo of a man, a random troll who was wearing a MAGA hat. And he said that this was the police officer who killed George Floyd. Twitter refused to fact check this. But if they're a publisher, they would be legally responsible for any action that occurred on this man after that tweet.
Right. And they actually, so it's kind of funny because, you know, they did start fact checking Trump, and then they took this tweet and they did like the little fact check underneath that too and said that it was manipulated media. And I was like, okay, well, I guess that at least they're using this fact check for both sides as opposed to just Trump. But even how they fact checked Trump was hilarious to me because, of course, they chose the one thing that anyone could easily debunk in 5 minutes of research about mail-in voter fraud and how easy it is to request an absentee ballot. I was actually reading a story just yesterday because I wanted to see, okay, well, you know, a lot of the times it has been talked about that mail-in voter fraud is very easy to commit, but I wonder if anyone's actually done this. And this journalist actually wrote a whole entire article about how she made up two fake names and the names were actually registered as eligible voters, and she physically called up her election board and was like, hi, can I request an absentee ballot? This is my name. And she got two extra absentee ballots and was able to cast a vote. So, you know, very easy to debunk all of these things. And I'm glad that Trump's finally, you know, pushing forward in the right direction. We had talked about earlier this year at CPAC, actually. It seems like it was such a long time ago. This has been such a year. Good Lord. But we were talking about at CPAC how, or you specifically said, that one of the biggest hurdles that Trump is going to have to get over is tech censorship and big tech. I mean, now that we're here, how do you think that this is going to help him in November?
Because we're not going to have, hopefully, you know, my end goal, I really hope that a lot of these voices are brought back. And we have, there was a judge who ruled that Trump is not allowed to block people on Twitter. AOC got in trouble for this as well, you know, so we already have precedent saying that these public officials, these elected officials are not allowed to block people on Twitter. Why? Because it stifles you from being able to participate in democracy the same as everybody else. It stifles you from being able to reach your representatives in the same way that everybody else is. So we have this precedent on this, and social media has become the new public square. So barring people from this is barring people from their First Amendment rights. And again, we have the precedent on this. This is, we need everyone to be able to participate in democracy equally. But if you're censoring people, and the mail-in voter ballot censorship is so ridiculous, because we have videos of Jerry Nadler decades ago saying how these could lead to more corruption, lead to fraud. We have Democrats who were against mail-in ballots and all of this stuff because of the issues with this. And they're pushing it so hard right now because it fits their agenda. And if it did not, they would not be pushing it the way that they are.
Definitely. And I'm glad that I was able to get you on to talk about this, because, you know, it's just always so funny to see just how Twitter really does treat people so differently based off of their political views. And like you said, too, this really is a public square, and people constantly try to use the argument that, well, Twitter, Facebook, they're private companies, so they're allowed to regulate these things. But then we go back to Section 230 of the Communications Act, and they're acting like publishers. Meanwhile, they're supposed to be an area and a place where everyone can have free speech. And that's been something that has been attacked for various people. You know, this isn't something that just is focused in on conservative people. It's something that expands to everyone. It's free speech for everyone that is being impeded upon.
Absolutely. And not only that, but all of these companies, especially Facebook and Google, they all receive giant government subsidies. So you really can't use the my private company argument when you are receiving giant checks from Uncle Sam, right? And again, going back to the precedent that we set, you cannot even block people on social media when you're an elected official. So why, on the same principle, would we be able to ban people from participating in this very public square?
And you know, it's been interesting, too, just to see how big tech and Twitter specifically going into coronavirus as well, because that still is very relevant. But to see how they use their platforms to elevate the coronavirus stories and doctors who were further stoking this fear and hysteria and making people so afraid to leave their houses. Meanwhile, for example, we had those doctors in California. Their videos, they were taking off of YouTube. They were taking off of so many different social media platforms. And now I bet if they were up on Twitter, they would be flagged or even fact-checked because their views don't align with the views of the mainstream media.
Absolutely. And not only this, I mean, this whole thing, this was supposed to be, what, 15 days to flatten the curve?
Mm-hmm.
And now I believe it's day 70 of a nationwide lockdown, and arguably unconstitutionally barring people from leaving their houses, barring people from participating in democracy and business and all these things. It's enough is enough.
Definitely.
And there's an agenda being pushed, and, you know, they want it to be harder for Trump to recover this economy from a post-pandemic situation. They want this, because if you think that this pandemic is not going to affect the 2020 election, you're ignorant, because it already is. They're already pushing for these mail-in ballots based solely on this pandemic. We're allowing people to go to Walmart, but they can't go to the voting booths. I believe if we can safely allow people to go to Walmart, we can absolutely safely allow people to go to the voting booths.
Definitely agree with you there, Ashley. Well, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you coming on. Tell people where they can go follow you and they can hear more of your thoughts.
Yep, at St. Clair Ashley on Twitter and Real Ashley St. Clair on Instagram. It is always a joy seeing your beautiful face, Savannah.
You're so sweet. Thank you so much for coming on with me today. I always enjoy our discussions. Go give her a follow, folks. She's one of my favorite on Twitter.
Yes. Okay. Have a good day, Savannah.
You too. All right, guys. So an update on what is going on in Minnesota. Apparently, their governor is now declaring a state of emergency and activating the state's National Guard to respond to the looting and violent protests going on throughout their state. And we were, I initially said too that, you know, a lot of these riots and a lot of this looting was happening in Minneapolis. It has now moved to another city within Minnesota, St. Paul. So people are being advised by the police to stay away from specific areas because police officers are being assaulted and the area itself is not safe. So that is the state of that state right now. It does not look good, folks. And again, this is day two of these riots, of this looting in response to George Floyd's death. The mayor of St. Paul had said to please stay home, do not come here and protest, keep the focus on George Floyd and on advancing our movement and on preventing this from ever happening again. We can all be in this fight together. So it's good that, you know, people are trying to keep the peace, but obviously, you know, like we talked about too with Bryson Gray about Black Lives Matter, about a lot of these groups that are constantly looting and rioting and starting these race wars, essentially, because that's exactly what they are. I mean, it's they're there to sow racial division in our country, to evoke our emotions, to make us feel like it's justified to go out and burn down a Target, to burn down low-income housing, to go burn down an AutoZone because somebody needs to be, someone's life was taken and they need to be brought to justice. The police need to be brought to justice. But of course, as many people have pointed out, this is not the way to go about getting justice for George Floyd, by burning down the neighborhood, by destroying the entire state and the entire city of Minneapolis. It's very counterproductive. And, you know, we're playing this video right here too, y'all. Let's go ahead and put this one full screen. And for our radio listeners, it is the video of this morning in Minneapolis. And as you can see, the buildings are charred. There's smoke in the air. It looks completely devastated. Cassandra Fairbanks on Twitter today said she took a picture of Minneapolis and she put it up next to a picture of Somalia. And she said, Minneapolis versus Somalia, bet you can't tell the difference between which one is which. Because that's just how devastated this city looks after 2 days of riots. And we have a lot of our politicians, like I said, too, like Maxine Waters, like Ilhan Omar, like the mayor of Minneapolis, who have come forward and said, we understand that your anger is justified and that's what happens. That's what's going to happen. And then that's not okay. I hope that we as a country can come together and all denounce this type of rioting and looting, because in no situation is this ever okay. It's one thing to stand up and protest for justice, stand up for what's right, but it's another thing to go out and, you know, steal an HD TV from Target. That's helping nobody, and it's ridiculous. And again, going back to like what I was saying as well, just hopefully, if anything, this wakes up a lot of people to the fact that these lockdown measures have been ridiculous for the past couple of months, and it wakes up a lot of people to the fact that this virus has been so overly exaggerated by our media. And this, again, is going to be our shift, where we start moving away from all the reporting on this and we start moving towards other news. We're going to start moving towards, again, racial division in our country, because we are getting closer and closer to Election Day. I believe we are less than 160 days out, or just above 160 days. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's getting close, folks. And that, too, is why Trump came out and signed this executive order, because he was aware, as Twitter made their moves to fact check him, he needed to make his moves to start saving free speech, because that is what a lot of his supporters put him in office for, to protect free speech, to build the wall, to stop illegal immigration. We put him in this position of power to get these things done. And over the past couple of months and the past couple of years, since he's been in office, people have been upset about his response to a lot of these things. So he's now taking hold of this, and signing this executive order today was a big step in the right direction, something that has been needed for a long time. And I'm glad we finally have our president standing up for our free speech on these platforms. So important, such a pivotal step, because again, too, I mean, it starts on big tech. Your language gets regulated on there, and what you can say gets regulated on there. And then it stretches into real life. Oh, you can't say Wuhan virus. You can't say Chinese virus because that's racist. And two, with the face masks. You know, the face mask was really a symbol of what people would accept and who would accept potential security from the government for their freedoms, who would accept fear over their freedoms. Now, folks, we went through a lot of big news today, so I want to go ahead and open the phone lines up. The number is 877-789-2539, and I want to give you guys an opportunity to discuss a lot of these breaking news stories. What do you think about President Trump signing this executive order? Do you think that it's too little, too late? Do you think we are stepping in the right direction? What do you think about the riots currently going on in Minneapolis and in Los Angeles? And how do you think that this is going to set the precedent for other protests too? If people want to continue to do anti-lockdown protests, do you think that we're going to see the media still demonize those protests, even though we all know they're not going to be demonizing these riots in Minneapolis as, you know, a way to further spread the virus or whatnot? So lots of things for us to go over. 877-789-2539. Feel free to call in. I'm very excited to talk with all of you today. And while I wait for those phone calls to get congregated, while I wait for you all to call in, I again want to direct you guys to go to the InfoWars store, because we really are in a fight for the truth. Every single time I hear the name InfoWars, it's so true. The name InfoWars is so true, because we really are in a war, and it's exhausting. It's exhausting to constantly have to fight back against all of the disinformation. It's exhausting to have to constantly fight back against the media and all of these people who are trying to take away your constitutional rights and freedoms and who are trying to dismantle America. It's tiring having to deal with all of that, but luckily, because we take care of our bodies, we have these great supplements, and we have these great products, we're able to do that. I don't think I've ever seen somebody work as hard as Alex Jones does. I don't think he ever takes one day off, because he is so passionate about this information war. And he's able to do that because he does take our supplements, because he takes care of his body and he takes care of his mind. And that's something that has been lost on a lot of Americans. We're constantly putting garbage into our bodies. We're not taking care of ourselves. And that's where it all begins. If you want to learn how to cut through all of this madness and learn how to critically think, it starts with taking care of your mind. It starts with feeding your body the right things. So go to InfoWarsStore.com and take advantage of our Memorial Day super sale. It is a great sale that's currently going on, and we do not know how much longer it's going to last for. So go and get that krill oil before it is sold out. Go and get the X2, another great supplement that's going to help you with clarity of the mind and help you to think critically. These are great supplements, and I'd highly recommend them. I will be back with your phone calls on the other side of this short break. Welcome back to the War Room. We are finally getting down to our last 30 minutes. Whew. It's been a week so far, folks. It's been a week, and it's only Thursday. We're almost done with it. We're almost through. It hasn't even been a week. It's been a year, a long year. But let's get back into some of our biggest headlines today. You know, it has been a long year, but we have made a lot of progress, and Trump's actions today show that. So let's go ahead and go to our phone calls and talk to some of the Americans on the street who are actually experiencing some of these things and want to give their take on what is currently going on in the world. So let's go ahead and start with Nick in Michigan, who wants to talk about the divide and conquer tactics currently being used.
Okay, thank you for taking my call. Again, I want to say I love everybody at InfoWars. And, you know, we clearly see a divide and conquer agenda in the media, and they pounce on every opportunity and ignore other opportunities that doesn't fit their agenda. And I don't think it's enough to just call out the bias. To wake people up, I think we have to point out that they're using it selectively to push a particular agenda. It's a scientific dictatorship, and they're using trauma-based mind control to manipulate the populace. We see it with the whole coronavirus thing, using fear to force their agenda. And it keeps United States citizens fighting each other and not looking at the true oppressor. And I think their agenda is if they can cause enough destabilization, particularly people fighting against police officers, it in their mind justifies some kind of military occupation, possibly by UN troops. And with that said, these officers are responsible for their own actions and for enforcing anti-constitutional orders. And I think we have to keep this in mind. We have to wake everybody up, and everybody has a different background and sees the biases that they recognize in themselves, you know, sees the biases against what they stand for. So I think it's important that we point out that they're using it as an agenda to manipulate. And I would just like to read one Bible verse also. Leviticus 19:34, it says, "Let the stranger who dwells among you be as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you are strangers in the land of sin, for I am Yahuwah your Elohim." And I just want to, again, just say thank you. I love everybody at InfoWars. You guys do a great job.
Thank you so much for the call, Nick. You made a lot of really great points there, especially about the police. And at the end of the day, it's down to each of their own individual choices and actions. And that's something for a lot of us to think about, as over the past couple of months, people have been arrested and put in jail for reopening their private businesses. And in Minneapolis yesterday, people were not arrested at all for this rioting and looting that's been going on. It's just very interesting to see how the reaction to all of these things is that, you know, we've been so, I guess I could say, oppressed by our police officers or by our government for the past couple of months, and people were so scared to go out and just reopen their own businesses or even go to work. And now we have people rioting in the streets and the police are doing nothing. So it's just two very opposite ends of the spectrums, two very different extremes. Let's go ahead and go to Jefferson in Virginia now, who wants to talk about the riots.
Hey, Savannah.
Hi, Jefferson. Of course.
Great show, by the way. It's been very entertaining.
Thank you.
I think it's important to point out that people riot generally because they think the police are being protected by the system.
Mm-hmm.
And these cops were clearly in the wrong, and it wouldn't be hard to charge them or at least arrest them. But if it was you and me that did this, we'd be in jail awaiting trial, and the charges would be on hold. We wouldn't even get charges put against us. But somehow the police can do this. The man was handcuffed. There was never any reason for what was going on there for as long as it went on. And that's where he crossed the line. And he should have been charged and put in jail, or at least jailed. And the charge could be forthcoming. But I don't think you had time to watch the press conference today, but that was a provocation where they're saying, we need everybody that was a witness or filmed it to provide us with more evidence, because the Hennepin County attorney said, I've seen evidence that somehow justifies what this police officer did. So they're going to hold on as long as possible and wait until people provide them with every piece of evidence. So this could go on for a long time before they finally charge this guy.
And that is a very interesting point. I'm glad that you did bring that up, Jefferson, because I did see that police conference today. I wasn't able to watch it, but I saw that that had happened today. And, you know, like I said, I don't think that anyone who watched this video thinks that that police officer was in the right. So we definitely do need to hold officers accountable who do abuse their power. And this is an example of that. That police officer needs to be arrested for murder. He does, at the end of the day, because that was an abuse of power. There was no need for him to be on that man's neck, and there was no need for that man to die.
I would argue that they should first charge him with manslaughter, and if they can make the murder charge stick, they can elevate it to that. But first you put him in jail, and you charge him with something like manslaughter where he can still be held. You don't have to jump the gun and go higher until you have further evidence.
Well, thank you so much for the call, Jefferson, and thank you for talking to us about that police conference, too, because another very important piece of news that we weren't able to get to, so I'm glad that you brought that up. Let's go ahead and go now to Johnny in Denmark, who wants to talk about Trump signing the executive order and timing it out perfectly for the elections.
Yeah, thanks, Savannah. Great job, as usual, guest hosting this show.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just another example of Trump timing things just perfectly. I think it's essential to remember, and sometimes I have to remind myself of this, that he's very carefully balancing having a good case in the courts of law and in the court of public opinion. Because if he proceeds in the courts of law and he does not have the public support, there could be, you know, massive strife and civil dissent in the U.S., and he wants to avoid the civil war at all costs. And so what he's doing is what he's done, as far as I'm concerned, with a lot of other issues, and basically taught the people, as he did, for example, with making sure the Google search algorithm was unbroken, as you so to speak, before he paraded Fauci and Birx out, so that people would know who they were. I mean, to the point that people could now see when they search for Epstein and Bill Clinton, they could actually see a picture of Jeffrey Epstein with Bill Clinton, as opposed to Jeffrey Epstein with Donald Trump. And speaking of that, just another wonderful example, you know, of that is basically when Trump perfectly timed his taking down Rainier and Nexivum, that sex cult basically associated with Epstein, he didn't have to say a word to Epstein. He got Nexivum and Rainier convicted on all counts, and to the point where 66-year-old Epstein, an obvious narcissist who had been serving the Mossad and MI6 and the FBI and the CIA. Just think about that for a second. If you were protected by any one of those organizations, you'd feel extremely secure. Epstein felt extremely secure because he was protected by all four, and he had served a joke of a term before. But by convicting Nexivum and Rainier of all counts, he got Epstein to volunteer at the age of 66 to do 5 years in prison. And that's just what he volunteered to do. And, you know, if he typically people are willing to do more than they what they offer to do.
A lot of great points, Johnny. Thank you so much for your call. And, you know, you mentioned Jeffrey Epstein, and I wanted to pull up this article because I was reading this headline today, and it's from the New York Post. It says, "New Jeffrey Epstein doc should finally lead to a reckoning with Bill Clinton." And it basically goes into the article and talks about Bill Clinton's ties to Jeffrey Epstein and how he was on the Lolita Express and on Jeffrey Epstein's island. And it's just so funny to me because, you know, this is breaking news for the New York Post, but this is something that Alex Jones and InfoWars have been reporting for such a long time. And I mean, anyone who watches this show, I'm sure at one point or another, you've seen a breaking news story and you're like, oh, yeah, I heard about that 6 months ago. This is nothing new. This is not news anymore. But I'm glad that the mainstream media finally picked up on it. All right, y'all. Last segment of the War Room. Thank you all for sticking with me through this broadcast. I've had a lot of fun with all of our great guests. Oh, my goodness, guys. I've been getting so tongue-tied today. But luckily, I've had the help of our great guests, Bryson Gray, Ashley St. Clair, Tom Papert, and we were able to discuss a lot of really great topics and a lot of big news stories today. Now I'm going to get to the rest of your phone calls in this last segment, and also do a little bit of a news blitz. Now, I wanted to talk about China approving this plan to impose national security laws on Hong Kong and what that means. Now, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo yesterday came out and said that Hong Kong is no longer autonomous from China. Now, we've reported on the Hong Kong protests previously. They've been happening since April of last year. And the people in that city have been trying to push back against the communist Chinese regime from going into their city and taking over their freedoms and taking over their democracy. Unfortunately, now this law that has now been enacted represents the first time that Beijing has introduced a law that imposed criminal penalties into Hong Kong's legal code, bypassing city's legislature. Luckily, Tsai Ing-wen, the president of Taiwan, has come forward and said that she stands with the people of Hong Kong. And if you remember, I always kind of think of Hong Kong and Taiwan as similar in terms of trying to get away from China, mainland China, and be autonomous from them. Remember a couple weeks back when the World Health Organization, one of their directors, refused to acknowledge Taiwan as separate from China in an attempt to appease China. So Taiwan kind of understands the same exact thing that Hong Kong is going through. But basically what this new national security law would do is Hong Kong and the U.S., they have a special trade agreement, and that grants Hong Kong a city-state economic privileges not enjoyed by China. And the arrangement had also provided China and the U.S. with indirect access to each other's markets. But because they're imposing these new security laws and Hong Kong is no longer autonomous, they may no longer have those trade agreements in place. So an update on what's going on over there. And my heart goes out to all of those people who really understand what true freedom looks like and true democracy looks like. I really wish we could take all of the people over here in America who are burning our flag and screaming F America, send them to Hong Kong and bring all of the Hong Kong protesters who are truly pro-democracy and pro-freedom and understand what it means to fight for their freedoms and fight for what is right and fight back against an oppressive and tyrannical government. I wish we could bring them all over here, because those are the type of people that we need in our country, the type of people that are going to fight back against a government that is trying to take away our rights. We need to look to the people of Hong Kong as an example of how we should be acting when our government tries to impose restrictions upon us instead of lying down like sheep and just taking it. So update on Hong Kong there. Pompeo also came up with another update today on Iran. Says that the U.S. will begin imposing sanctions on Iran because of their nuclear sites, giving the country 60 days to wind down their operations. Let's go ahead and hop over to New York. Governor Andrew Cuomo is also actually quietly made it a felony for New York officials to share illegal alien driver information with ICE. Now, this was an amendment in his green light law, which went into effect in December. If you guys remember, we played that footage of all of the lines, the long lines of illegal aliens who were getting driver's licenses in New York because Andrew Cuomo said that you did not need to be a U.S. citizen to get a driver's license. And now it is a felony for officials to share that information with ICE. So just another example of how Democrats are aiding people in breaking the laws of our country. Another headline today from Infowars.com. Footage: hospital patient complains in the UK about waiting while nurses film TikTok video. Pretty much exactly what we've been seeing and expecting over the past couple of months. Not surprising at all to read that headline. This headline today from the Washington Examiner: 1 million nurses will retire by 2030. We need to prepare for it. Now, I printed out this headline because why is this journalism now in 2020? Why is it that we are now taking things that are expected to happen or things that are projected to happen and trying to scare Americans and scare people into, I don't even know what. I mean, this is not journalism. Why are we doing this? And I mean, I don't want to see this as a trend that happens now after the coronavirus, where we take stories and we say, oh, well, this is projected to happen, so we really need to prepare for this. We really need to be aware for this. It's ridiculous. And that's just what that reminded me of. These other two headlines I'm not going to get to because they're ridiculous. They were just about how apparently there's a problem with referring to women as females now, according to some liberal woman who can't handle living in the hierarchy of America, whatever, male misogyny, I don't know. Throw whatever words you want to at this article. It was ridiculous. I was going to get to it, but I'm just too tired to even get through it. So let's get back to your phone calls. Let's go ahead and go to Chris in Kentucky, who wants to talk about better community relations.
Savannah, thank you for taking my call, and you're doing an outstanding job.
Oh, thank you, Chris.
Yeah, this is important. We don't want the people, the media, to stir up things where the police are all like that. No, they're not. There's a lot of good officers out there. There's constitutional ones that have gone on YouTube. We've seen clips of that on InfoWars. Let's reach out and to get the band to go to the community and get this solved. Because you know what the main thing is? The globalists want these riots so they can take control and have the UN troops go in. This is what they want to do, Savannah. We need to communicate on the local level, like David Knight has always stressed. Communicate with these people because there's a lot of good officers out there, mm-hmm. and let's just thank them for their job and communicate with them, talk to them, and don't be afraid of them. And this is what the media wants us to do. They want us to be, oh, they're bad. They're all like that. Do you see where I'm going with this? How the media stirs us up?
Definitely. And you do make a good point. And I think everyone is on the same side in terms of this officer. He abused his power. But at the end of the day, too, a lot of us are aware that, you know, one bad apple does not mean that every single police officer is a bad person. So that is a great point that the media is trying to use this to further divide our community, further divide our communication. And again, it all goes back to isolating people. It's isolating the Black communities from police officers and not allowing that civil discourse to take place. So that's a great point, Chris, and I really appreciate you calling in and sharing your viewpoint on that. Let's go ahead and go to Joshua, who is living in New Jersey and wants to talk about Trump's executive order.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Another beautiful day in the socialist state of New Jersey under a moron governor. You know, it's funny. He signed that executive order. Alex has been talking about it for years now, how we've all been censored. I just got censored yesterday for a tweet I put up about Joe Scarborough, and I remembered the story from 2001. And as soon as 9/11 happened, the story went away. So, like, I had retweeted it, and next thing I know, I was banned. But more importantly, what we're seeing in Minneapolis, it's always in the liberal progressive areas that this happens. So what is that? You know, the experiment's failed. Obviously, political correctness isn't working. Giving the police officers all this power is insane. And unfortunately, my brother was an officer, and I mean, he was fired because he lied and omitted stuff on his application. I mean, so you can say they're not all bad, but when you see all the stories that are put out there, of course, most people who aren't awake, which is, you know, a lot of the country, they're going to take this as you know, this is Bible. And it's not. It's not. And it's awful that man. First of all, I watched another guy on YouTube, and he's pretty off color, but he's a gentleman. I think he might have been on Alex's show once or twice, but he said you all were standing there video recording. None of you thought to go over and push that top off that guy's neck.
Joshua, and you know, that was one of my thoughts too, was this is a 10-minute long video, and not one person thought to go and save this man's life. And I understand too, there was four other police officers there with their guns drawn. Not guns drawn, but you know, obviously they're police officers, so they have guns. And I understand that fear of not wanting to go and push back against the police officers. But if you're going to sit there and film a man being murdered and do nothing about it, I think that more than anything is, again, at the core, what's wrong with our country. It's that we'll sit back and film something, but we won't actually go and take action and do what's right. We won't actually go and try to help our fellow American. So that was another hard part of this video to watch, and something that I've been thinking about a lot too, is why do we lack that now in our country, the ability to go and do what's right, or the want to stand up for what's right and help out our fellow American? This has been a good show, y'all. Thank you guys for having me. I've really appreciated getting to sit in for Owen Schroyer, but he's going to be back tomorrow for our Veterans Call-In Show, so definitely tune in for that.